In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Early in my Christian life, I encountered these words by G. Campbell Morgan, and they have stuck with me ever since. In Christ, I find God. In Christ, God finds me. And I came to realize that there's an added phrase. In Christ, I find myself. In Christ, I find my life. I'm not quite sure how this happens, but I suspect that it emerges out of the truth, sort of this core central truth, that is one of the great mysteries of our faith, in that Jesus was both God and man. He was 100% God and 100% human. He was perfect God and perfect human. In his life, we see the life that secretly we aspire to and want. We see who we truly and most profoundly are. I find it helpful in reading the gospel stories to try to keep that in mind. We tend to approach reading the gospels and think of this person, Jesus, as really more God than man, and we forget his humanity. When Father Andrew asked me if I would preach today, I have the secret luxury, which he does not have, of checking out the verse, the scriptures, to see if it's something I think I can preach on before I say yes. He always texts me, and before I text back, I whip through and see, is this something I can preach on? And today's reading, often known as the Great Commission, sort of leapt off the page. Yes, I can preach on that, because that is sort of my... these magnificent words at the end of Matthew, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. These are magnificent words. I love these words. They sum up what for me is sort of, it feels like my sort of personal calling, which is really evangelism, to put it simply. It is taking the gospel out into the world. And so at least my sort of cycle in going through preparing a sermon is to sort of quietly read and reflect and pray and ask for guidance and sort of what words, what theme is supposed to be the subject of the sermon. And that pretty quickly turns into sort of nagging. Instead of praying, it's more like nagging. It sounds an awful lot like my small grandchildren when they want a cookie or something. And then it goes from there into whining stage, where I'm just kind of being a complete jerk. And sometimes it even turns into wailing and gnashing of teeth and utter desperation, where I'm just pretty much out of control. And often that is sort of Saturday morning at that stage, and then I write something in desperation and then change it. And that starts usually at about 5 the morning of the sermon. That was about the way it worked this time. Because what happened is this idea, go and make disciples of all nations, sums up what I feel like my ministry is, and I don't know how to do that. That's what I came up with. I realized I don't know how to do that in our world today. I just don't. I don't know how to preach on it. I don't know how to tell you all how to do it. I don't know how to lead in that regard. I've been trying forever, ever since I've been here, to do that. And I don't feel like I've learned a thing or done a thing. I'm not just saying that. I don't want anybody to come up and say, no, you're doing a great job. I know what I'm doing and what I'm not doing. So So I found out I couldn't preach on it. But as I began to sort of wrestle with these verses, the context in which they were given sort of began to emerge. These men were walking to a mountain, and Jesus appears to them after his death. They had just been through his terrible death, the Holy Week. It was just a few weeks ago in the context of this story. And this church has just been through some significant deaths. We have lost some people. We're in the process of losing people. If you live long enough, you know people that you dearly love that die. It is part of the deal. It's not a mistake. It's not something bad is happening. It is built into the system. And I have just been through that with my mother. And I wouldn't have missed a minute of it. And it was an absolutely holy time. And it gives you a lot of time. I felt like I was still in it. And I was sort of in the story where these men were that were hearing these words of the Great Commission. And all of a sudden I realized, for example, there's a reason that Jesus told the disciples after the resurrection, go back to Jerusalem and don't do anything until you receive the Holy Spirit. And that was a period of 4 weeks. They needed a break. They just needed an emotional time to just simply be. They were exhausted. It was exhausting in a good way, but they were fried. They were toast. And they needed time to heal. And I got that. I could feel that that's where they were. You see, when I got the word that my mother had sort of taken a sudden downturn, it was sort of at the beginning of May, and I started going over because she could no longer feed herself. The nurses in her place would feed her, but I found that I really loved to go over and sit with her and feed her. And at times we would talk, but sometimes she just wasn't talking. In those beautiful, quiet times of just simply giving her a little food and just sitting with her were absolutely golden. I treasured them. I will miss them. It was sort of life coming full circle. It was exactly what she did to me 68 years ago. And it just felt holy. And then as she began to sort of deteriorate, my sisters were there, and all of the children and grandchildren came, and there was a lot of time just sitting in a room with her quietly. We weren't saying much to her. She was, at the end, not saying anything. She was not even awake. But the nurses would say, talk to her because she can hear you. And so we did. And we talked to her, and we told her how much we loved her. And we talked among ourselves, and we relived old stories, and we cried, and we laughed, and we drank wine, and we said last rites, and we cut up, and we planned, and we tried to figure out, you know, every time a doctor would come in, we'd say, how much longer? And they would say, I think, you know, right now, any day. Well, that went on for 5 days. At the end, you get to where you're out of words. You're simply out of words. You're out of emotions. You're out of planning. You're out of everything. And you're just there. And you're just with this person that you deeply love and with the people that you love that love her with you. And after this was all over, when the family had finally sort of gathered for the meal after her funeral, I couldn't sort of join in, but there's, 20-some people, all ages. There's a lot of, there's a lot of life there. And what I found was I was seeing qualities in my mother and my father in my children and my nieces and nephews, and in my grandchildren, my parents' great-grandchildren. Something had passed on from them through us into our family. I was just seeing my parents alive in my grandchildren. It was the most amazing thing. And out of that experience, as I've sort of mulled it over, I've come to, and I, you know, let me say this, I have seen it in other families. I see it in families in this church. Once you sort of see it, you can recognize it. And what I believe is we're talking about more than genes. We're talking about more than sort of a biological inheritance that we all receive from our parents. We're talking about the transmission of something in me that is my spirit, my personality, who I am. It gets passed on to others. And how that happens, dear people, I believe is simply through love, sacrificial love. I think that all love, by its nature and its essence, is sacrificial in nature. Think of what a parent does for children. That's sacrifice. You don't think of it as sacrifice when you get up and feed a baby in the middle of the night or change diapers. You don't think of it as sacrifice when your best friend says, I need this. You do it. You don't think of it as sacrifice, but it is. It is sacrificial love. And when that happens between two people, something is communicated, something is given, something is let go that comes from you and is reproduced in the person receiving that gift. I think this happens all the time in families. I think sometimes with great souls it happens on a national level. Think of Mahatma Gandhi. Think of Nelson Mandela. Think of Martin Luther King Jr. Something of the sacrificial life that they lived communicated out to a large number of people. Jesus is the prime example of that. Listen to some of his words, his teachings. He that saves his life will lose it. Those that lose their life for my sake will find it. When you give something away, it comes back to you. The grain of wheat that falls into the ground dies alone, but when it falls into the ground, it bears much fruit. When that sort of kernel of life in you falls into somebody else's life, it produces much fruit. Think of the parable of the man that left 5 talents, 3 talents, and 1 talent. Those that invested their talents, those that gave them away, found that they were enriched with more talents. Those that buried their talent lost it. I think he's talking about qualities of being there, not gifts of doing. So Jesus said to his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And I sit there and think, you already had all authority in heaven and on earth. How can it just be given to you? And what I believe he's saying is that, yes, I had it, but I did not come as with authority. I came as a servant. Yes, I was Lord and Master. I was Messiah. I am Messiah, which means ruler of the world. But I came as a servant. I did not hold on to that title. I gave it away. I gave it to you. And because of that, all authority has come back to me. And I'm passing this authority on to you. Go and make disciples of all people. I don't know how to do that, but what I do think I know now is all I can do is become a disciple as best I can, as fully as I can, as lovingly as I can. And that in and of itself will make disciples of those around me. As I invest in their life, they're going to see whatever it is that's in my life. And the more I give, the more I will receive. The more we give, the more the world will come to know Christ. It's not a teaching. It's not something we do. It's simply who we become when we become a disciple of Christ. Amen.